she-wolf suckled two abandoned infants on the banks of the Tiber. And from that single act of wild mercy, one of history's most consequential civilizations was born. That is the story Romans told about themselves, and the fact that they believed it so completely shaped everything they built. Rome's traditional foundation date is 753 BCE, though ancient historians proposed wildly different dates, ranging from 814 to 728 BCE. That disagreement alone tells you something important. Even the Romans knew their origins were tangled between myth and memory. Now, the myth itself is worth sitting with, Alexis, because it was never just a bedtime story. It was a political statement. Romulus and Remus were said to be twin sons of Rhea Silvia and the god Mars. Their grandfather, Numitor, was the rightful king of Alba Longa. His brother, Amulius, seized the throne, forced Rhea Silvia into a life of religious celibacy as a Vestal virgin, and then ordered the infant twins thrown into the Tiber River. The basket carrying them drifted ashore near a sacred fig tree. A she-wolf suckled them. A herdsman named Faustulus and his wife Acca Laurentia raised them as their own. Think of what Romans were encoding in that story. Divine parentage, survival against impossible odds, and a destiny that no human tyrant could extinguish. When Romulus and Remus grew up, they overthrew Amulius and restored Numitor to power. Then they set out to build something entirely their own. The brothers chose different hills. Romulus favored the Palatine. Remus favored the Aventine. The dispute over which hill would anchor the new city ended violently. Romulus killed Remus, and the city took his name. That founding murder was not hidden or sanitized. Romans remembered it openly. It told them that Rome's greatness had a cost, that power demanded hard choices. Romulus then built the population deliberately. He offered asylum to fugitives and exiles, drawing in outsiders from across Latium. He absorbed the neighboring Sabines through conflict and then union, even accepting the Sabine king Titus Tatius as co-ruler. The key idea here is that Rome was never ethnically pure or culturally closed. From its very first generation, it was a city of absorbed peoples. That instinct for incorporation would later become its greatest strategic weapon. And the archaeological record supports a real underlying process. Iron Age settlements on the hills of Latium date to around 900 BCE, gradually urbanizing through the 7th and 6th centuries BCE into something recognizable as a city-state. The monarchy lasted, by Roman tradition, through seven kings. The last was Lucius Tarquinius Superbus, Tarquin the Proud. His expulsion in 509 BCE triggered one of the most consequential political reinventions in the ancient world. Romans did not simply swap one king for another. They abolished the office entirely. The Republic, the res publica, meaning the public thing, the common affair, replaced singular rule with annually elected magistrates. Two consuls shared executive power, each able to veto the other. The Senate and popular assemblies continued as governing institutions. That annual rotation was the point, Alexis. No one could accumulate the kind of permanent personal power that had made Tarquin intolerable. The system was built on distrust of concentrated authority, and that distrust was productive. It forced negotiation. It forced coalition. It also created immediate tension because the elite patricians controlled the early republic almost completely, while the common plebeians had little formal voice. The struggle that followed, the conflict of the orders, was a slow, grinding political revolution. Plebeians eventually won the right to hold the highest offices of Roman government. They gained their own tribunes, officials whose persons were legally untouchable and who could block any action harmful to common citizens. That veto power, the tribunician veto, became one of the Republic's defining checks on elite dominance. Remember this, because it is the thread that runs through everything Rome became. The city was built on a myth of divine survival, but it was sustained by a very human genius for reinvention. The founding story gave Romans a sense of destiny. The Republic gave them a structure that could channel ambition without destroying itself, at least for a time. Rome's identity was not handed down from a single king or a single moment. It was hammered out through fraternal violence, political revolution, and a centuries-long argument between the powerful and the common. That blend of mythic destiny and pragmatic, participatory governance, Alexis, is what made Rome something the ancient world had never quite seen before.